Welcome to this recording of a CCLVI open house about committees. Join us as we introduce some of the committees within Council of Citizens with Low Vision International.
So we hope everybody's excited to be here tonight and that you've been having a good day. Tonight is our special events night. We'll be meeting from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern. And we're using the CCLVI Code of Conduct to guide all of our Zoom calls. I'm Kathy King, and I'm serving as a facilitator for this call. And Terry Pacheco is our ACB trained host and a valued CCLVI member hosting our call tonight. We have guiding topics for our Zoom calls, and facilitators may vary week by week. As we look at this as an opportunity to tap the great wealth of knowledge and skills of the CCLVI community to our open house regarding CCLVI committees. And we have three committee chairs with us tonight, and maybe some of their members as well. So you'll be learning more about what the committees do and opportunities available on them. And I'd like to formally welcome our committee chairs. Tonight we have Debbie Persons of the Finance and Budget Committee, Melanie Sinuhu of the Publications Committee, and Joyce Feinberg of the Legislative and Advocacy Committee. Very pleased that each of you were able to make it tonight. Is Debbie available?
Debbie, you should be able to unmute.
Okay, I'm unmuted.
There you are.
Ah, excellent. We're going to put you in the hot seat first. How's that?
Oh, that's terrible. But we will survive it.
Well, this is a very friendly group. So first of all, can you explain what does the Finance Committee do? What is the role of this? They sit around and calculate things, and wear green visors and use calculation sheets all the time. Is that what the committee does?
Yes. Doesn't that sound very boring? Okay. Well, according to the bylaws on the Constitution that was approved in July of 2018, the Finance and Budget Committee is supposed to provide the financial oversight of the organization, supposed to do the budgeting and the financial planning and financial reporting. They create and monitor the internal controls, accountability policies. Anyway, they develop the annual budget, and we get the budget approved by the board, monitor and adherence to the budget, and we're supposed to set long-range financial plans for the organization. Any other questions?
In a nutshell, can you translate that?
Well, in a nutshell, it means we pay all the bills, we plan a budget, and hopefully each committee will come up very soon with their budget that they will need for next year. And then they'll let us know that, and the Finance Committee will go over that and decide, you know, what will be available for them to use. And hopefully they can stick to their budget. But we go through and we have to pay the Scheigert winners their semester scholarship money, and we pay all the bills, and we handle all the membership dues as it comes in, and handle the money for the 50-50 and make sure the winner gets their part of the money, and just whatever needs to be done. Right, the treasurer is chairperson of the Finance Committee. The president is ex officio member of that committee, and we are looking for some more members. So if you have a special interest in finances or knowledge of investments or nonprofit organizations, please send me an email and with your qualifications or interest in it, and hopefully you'll be one of those to be on our committee.
Excellent. In addition to, you know, the interest in finance or maybe understanding of investments, are there any other skills they need? Like, do people need to have an accounting background to be on the committee, Debbie? Or what level of understanding of finance?
I don't think they need an accounting background because I'll be able to supply them with all the reports of what has been spent in the past and what our costs are mm-hmm. for various things. But we need somebody that's wise in how things are spent so that we don't, money's not misappropriated or that we mm-hmm. keep good financial records and good responsibility for the management of the finances of the organization.
Great, because I think that might be a common misconception that, well, I can't serve on that committee because I didn't take accounting in school, you know? So it's good to know that you don't really need a formal accounting background.
No, I wouldn't think that would be necessary. We just want to be able to account to the membership of how their money goes and make good decisions for the overall membership.
Very good. And how would they contact you if they were interested, Debbie?
You can drop me an email. I'm not sure what's on the website, but one of my emails is debper40214@gmail.com. That's debper40214. That's my zip code at gmail.com.
Great. I think that is the one that's currently on the website. Great. Thank you, Debbie. Thank you very much. So, Publications Committee, Melanie, how are you doing tonight?
Phenomenal now. I get to share the joy and fun of publications. I know it sounds crazy, but it's something I love.
Absolutely. And what would you say, how would you describe the responsibilities of the Publications Committee? It has a couple of different functions. So overall, where would you start in describing the function?
Yeah, so our primary function is to produce and publish the Vision Access newsletter 6 times a year. So we go from everything from writing articles to soliciting articles, editing, literally doing the layout of the article, getting it to the publisher, mailing the hard copies, emailing the, what they called electronic copies, getting them read up on the Fillmore system, and then also eventually having them posted to the website. So that's real high level beginning to end how we get things out.
And what skills would somebody need to be able to participate in the committee?
Yeah, so this is a committee that has to have a very defined skill set. While brainstorming is an important part of the production, you know, the production of it, we need strong writers, we need strong editors, we need someone, you know, if you have a layout design background, using programs like Publisher. But we also, something when it comes to publications is you don't necessarily, unfortunately, want too many hands in the pot. So we just want to make sure that who we have can do double duty so that we all have each other's, we can all back each other up. But I would say right now in the grand scheme of things, we're looking for writers, those that want to contribute articles, solicit for articles, really help get the content. And then there are the handful of us that have the technical knowledge to get it out. And then I am always a person that wants to teach. So if anybody is interested in learning how to do a publication, you know, that's its own segment that we can absolutely work on. You know, we can teach publisher, we can teach how to edit to an extent. So there's always that learning component if anyone's just interested in developing the skill set.
I know you and I have talked about the importance of cross training and trying to have at least two people capable of each task in our committees.
Absolutely.
So that's where the training really comes in, so that in case something happens or somebody just needs a break for a while, things don't fall through the cracks. So that is very valuable. It's an opportunity for our organization members to learn new skills that are quite marketable as well.
Absolutely. And I'm a big proponent of transferable skills. The skills I use at work, I use in my committees, whether I'm a member of them or chairing them and vice versa. So I think it's absolutely a learning opportunity and a teaching opportunity. that you can take anywhere outside of the organization.
And so far, as far as writing articles, would you be looking for people that would be perhaps writing a monthly column or an occasional article, or what are you thinking?
Yes.
That's what I thought you'd say.
So the yes comes from, I was honored to be asked to be the publications chair within the last few weeks. So we are having our first real sync up meeting next week to really start defining if we want to make any shifts in content, if we want to have those recurring columns. But no matter what, you always want to have a backlog. You want to have a repository that you can pull from at any time. You know, a newsletter is always going to have relevant content that's timely. And it's also going to always have relevant content that doesn't necessarily have a time frame associated with, but is just relevant to the organization. And so when you build out that backlog, you always have content, and that kind of becomes your second person, you know, like you were talking about, because you don't have to worry about the second two or three issues from now. You have to worry about four and five and six issues from now, and that's much easier to worry about in the time frame. So a lot of what we're going to talk about is what's working, what's not working. I want to send out a couple of short surveys to the membership about what they want to see, what has resonated, what hasn't resonated, so that we can make sure that we're developing a publication that everyone wants to read, at least the majority of it, where it's something that's of interest to them. So I want to make sure we're hearing our membership's voice when we're coming up with each one of these strategically.
Excellent. That really helps to guide the ship of publications, so that your efforts are in producing what the membership is looking for and will be able to use. It's a very important part of CCLVI. It has a rich history, Vision Access does.
Absolutely. And it's something too that, you know, once the membership gets it, then it becomes available on the website. It gets sent out to, you know, it gets sent out. And if that's our voice to bring people into the organization, we also want to make sure that they're getting a good view from the outside of what the inside looks like and what they might want to participate in.
So I can see that your committee interfaces with a couple of other committees.
Don't
as
they
well.
All?
So, yeah. What so you're between, talking about is partially public relations, and you have to collaborate with e-communications for yep. getting it up on the website.
We have to partner with e-communications for the website, public relations, all of our committees and our affiliates, because we want to make sure their voices are a part of it. Finance, because it does cost. So, you know, there are pieces, you know, there are a lot of pieces that we dive into, but because we become a form of the voice of the organization, we want to make sure that we have a good connection with all of the pieces of the organization, that we can represent them all.
Well, I'm looking forward to see what happens next with publications. Do you have need for some more committee members?
I think it goes back to writers. If anybody's wanting to write or contribute on a small scale, on a large scale, solicit, you know, go after people and organizations to get articles for us. I think that's probably the most beneficial to keep that backlog stocked. I think that's one of the most important roles. So definitely looking for writers and solicitors in the asking sense.
And you wanted to ask some of your members to speak?
Well, I'm happy to, I think Christine's on here, so if she has anything to add, but I wanted to call out our members are Christine Shaken and Kathy Casey and Valerie Reese Lerman, Cheryl McNeil Fisher, Patty Cox, Carla Rescheval does the recording for Fillmore. Robert Spangler does the layout design. And I know there's a couple that have already reached out looking to potentially join. So definitely, you know, open to hearing from anybody that's willing to help contribute. So if you are interested in joining or contributing, you can email CCLVIVisionAccess@gmail.com. So if you're interested, if you just have something you want to just write about, you've already got something written that you'd like to submit, feel free to send it over, send a note with it, and we can discuss and see where we can fit it in.
And that email is on the website as well.
It is.
So that's good. Yep. Thank you. Thank you so much. We might have more questions at the end for everybody too.
Sounds good. Thanks,
so,
Kathy.
So Joyce, Advocacy and Legislative Committee.
Well, the committee, sorry, mm-hmm. I was going to give a quick summary. The mm-hmm. committee is ideally going to be working on what's important to the members, and as a group, we'll decide on the actual topics to try and get some legislation moving or advocate for certain things. As a prime example, I accidentally walked into the wrong restroom at an airport because the signs were way too high for me to even try and figure out, even if I put my nose up to it. So I want to make sure that as a committee, we work on things that can be of importance to people with low vision.
Very good. Very good point. Yes. And so how will you come up with those topics? How do you get those topics that the committee considers as going forward with?
Well, some of the topics, if nobody as individual members of the committee or people have submitted in topics, if there aren't any of those, then to start working on some of the imperatives that ACB has started putting out, like the get up and move and using advocacy to try and get speech or even magnification on some of these digital screens associated with exercise equipment so that we also can use them to their full extent.
Very good. So going ahead and seeing what ACB is doing to be able to support those initiatives as well.
Correct. And
what skills would one need to be able to participate in the committee, Joyce? What are you looking for?
Well, essentially, I'm looking for anybody who has a passion to advocate for what they need, not just for themselves, but for others who may be facing the same situation. Again, an example of one of the ACB imperatives is to get low vision aids classified to be reimbursed by things like Medicare, Medicaid, and so forth. So it can be at a local level, a state level, or at the national level. Whatever is important to the organization and the members of the committee and the members of the organization.
Very good. It's really important. Without advocacy, my understanding is that a lot of our statespeople don't understand the needs. And so they don't know, they're not well informed as to what we need and can't make well informed votes. So
correct.
Bringing things to their attention and educating them is a vital role of this committee.
I was going to say, I'm on the edge of two congressional districts. And unfortunately, the congressman that represents where I currently live doesn't have a clue. Whereas the congressman who lives in the adjoining district knows quite a bit about what is needed for his constituents. So it's definitely getting the word out to your congressional staff.
It's amazing how you're in the same geographical region. You have a night and day example there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you need additional committee members at this time, Joyce?
Absolutely. Right now, I've only had one person volunteer beyond myself, and so anybody who does have a passion would like to advocate for those living with low vision and the needs of those living with low vision, please contact me, Joyce Feinberg at outlook.com. So I'll spell my last name or the first part, J-O-Y-C-E, F as in Foxtrot, E-I, N as in November, B as in Bravo, E-R, G as in golf. That's all one word, at outlook.com.
Very good. It's an exciting initiative, so critically important. Again, if legislators don't understand the needs.
It's not just our U.S. representatives and senators, it's our local and our state representatives and legislators for things that are important within the state, audio and pedestrian signals, crosswalks, down curbs, things like that, that make it easier for us to get through and live our lives like everybody else.
And there's such a great variation from county to county, even and state to state, and how those issues are handled for accessibility.
Exactly. So again, as much representation as we can get from the membership throughout the country, the better off we will be as a committee to bring the importance to the legislators around the country.
Do we have any questions for Joyce about legislation and advocacy committee?
This is Kathy Gerhart.
Go ahead, Kathy.
How much time would you think it would take on someone's schedule?
Well, what at least for the beginning until the legislative sessions come March of next year, I would say about an hour or two a month, unless something is going to be local to you, in which case it may include more time because you would be doing some of the footwork to get the appointments or some of the information that would be at your fingertips as opposed to, say, mine from the state of Maryland type of thing. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes.
And then after the legislative meetings, then hopefully we'll be meeting with our legislators. And that's, again, mostly at the national level and seeing what we can get pushed through on some of the initiatives, both from the ACB level, but also from our own level, from the low vision level, because we're the ones that are most often forgotten.
Are you expected to go to the meeting in... Is it March?
Nope. I believe it's going to be hybrid from what I last heard. And so with that in mind, you'll be able to listen to it through ACB media. And then it's just a matter, again, like it's been done this past year, setting up meetings with your local and or state legislative representatives to see what you can do in putting forward the low vision initiatives.
It sounds like what I'm already doing for the legislative committee in Ohio.
Okay, and so you would be a great asset because you're already doing part of it, and maybe something you're doing in Ohio might be beneficial to somebody else in, I'll say Utah, you know, another state that's out there, since we have a representative from Utah on the phone, right, on the Zoom call. And so that might produce ideas for other individuals, other members. What can we get past and how have you been doing it? So I think you would be a great asset to the committee.
I'll sign up.
That's great. We're very happy that you can see a good fit for yourself. Joyce, I'm going to ask too, I expect that if people have not served on this type of committee before, and the same with all of our committees, I would think that they would be introduced. They could kind of follow along what was going on for a while. They're not going to be thrown in the deep end, right?
Oh, I mean, absolutely not.
Yeah.
You would have ideally a mentor that would help guide you through what you would need to try and contact, who you would need to try and contact, and even be there as part of the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
If, as long as it's not in person in your state and the mentor is half a country away. Yeah, right. It's a little hard to get airplane tickets at times. And that minor thing about the cost of those airplane tickets. But yeah. Lately, with a lot of things being done through Zoom, a lot can be accomplished that way also. So yes, we would help provide some guidance and some mentorship.
That's the way I've approached new committees over the years, is go in, kind of watch what's going on, shadow somebody in the roles that I'm thinking of working. They give me some small tasks to do as I'm starting off, and probably 6 months, 9 months in, I really have a good feel for what's going on and how it all works. Just to reassure people that this is all about learning, and you get to know the other people on the committee better and share ideas and have a voice. And it's a great experience to participate in committees in our organizations.
And I'm looking to hold the first organizational meeting shortly after the next board meeting in October.
Okay. All right. So it'd be in about 2 weeks.
Correct.
Okay, great. And we have a webpage now at cclvi.info. There's a committee page. And on the committee page, you see the chair of each committee. And you see the members that we know so far. And we'll be gradually listing when the meetings are being held, which day of the month the meetings are held. And so you can find that information on the committee page. So we hope that will be helpful to people. Any other questions from folks in the room for any of our committee chairs? Thank you so much, Joyce.
You're welcome.
Well, I want to thank everybody for being here tonight. I know our chairs are very busy with all of the things that they do and making time to be here and share with us. Very valuable. This will be edited and posted on our site. We're making a little library of these recordings so that people can learn about our committees. And thank you for joining our CCLVI special events that we've been holding on Thursday nights. I have a little preview of upcoming Zoom calls. Tomorrow, Friday at 11 a.m., we are having Fun with Podcasts. What are your favorites? How do you listen to them? We expect to learn a lot of fun things about each other through that discussion. And Monday, we're learning about guide dogs. When do you decide to use them? To adopt a guide dog, how do you go through the training? What is the transition is like? And maybe we can squeeze some funny stories out of our guest speakers that day. And next week, we'll have some different committees on our open house. And our special topic will be our new website and the accessibility features. Thank you for coming. And I hope you all have a terrific evening.